Yes. Chapter 4 and verse 8, a familiar passage this morning. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, we read, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who does illumine us and teaches us your word and helps us to apply it to our hearts and lives. And that's what we need this morning, God. We need you to work in our hearts. We need you to speak to us by your word, that we might love your Son more, we might glorify your name. And God, for that, I ask for the filling of your Spirit to do what I cannot do, and that's to minister to the church your word and edify your church this morning, dear God. And thank you for the word that's gone forth already in the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, and help us to heed that which we've learned. Dear God, fill my wife with your Spirit as she relays the message and sign, and help her, bless her, and be with her, dear God. God, I want to remember Anna in prayer this morning and her grandmother. She is perhaps the worst that she has been yet, her grandmother, and she needs an extra measure of grace this morning. And we're thankful for her ministry here. I pray that you would help her, fill her with your Spirit, help her grandmother as well. And you know, dear God, when you have planned and prepared that home going, and we do pray for your grace as we look to that, and for your grace for them as well. Oh, Father, help us today. Draw us closer to you. May your word go forth and bring forth the fruit in our lives that will glorify your name. Help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And for his glory, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We read about how we're supposed to think there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And we see that the first thing listed is whatsoever things are true. The title of the message this morning, I looked at the wrong address up there. It's not Romans, obviously. It's Philippians 4:8. God's Tower of Truth. Recently, I preached a message from Peter where he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and we learned how that we're supposed to add some things to our faith. And we learned about that in Peter there was a certain order that we were supposed to add things to our faith. This passage, there's a connection. Everything is connected to truth. In this passage, I don't think the order is important. It's not specified clearly like Peter. Peter said, add to your faith virtue, then to what? Virtue, knowledge. There's a specific order. But that's not the case here. But we do have truth as the foundation of how we're the first thing listed of what we're supposed to think on. And I think that truth is it ought to be a tower that we look to in everything that we do in the Christian life. It's the foundation of our faith. By the way, we don't know Jesus apart from the truth of this word. And so we're going to see how these things are connected to truth and God's tower of truth in our lives, how we need to build our life upon the truth of the Word of God. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are true are things that we must think of. And true as far as truth revealed. I am so thankful that we have the truth right here in the very Word of God. And that word truth has the idea, it's true. It is sure, it is certain. It is real, true. It accuracy without variation, and that is the Word of God. It's interesting that when you use the word true as a verb, it has the idea of bringing something into shape or alignment or position. And God wants to bring us to bring our lives, what? Into shape, into alignment, into position with His truth, the Word of God. And that's what He has for every believer. It is the foundation upon which the whole Christian life is built. Truth. Think about the blessed doctrines of the Word of God, which we stand on and place our hope in. God is a God of truth, isn't He? In Deuteronomy 32:4, we read, He is the rock, His work is perfect, talking about our God. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. So if we have a disagreement with God, who's right? He is, amen? He's just, He's right. All His ways are truth. We think about that. Our God, all His ways are truth. And by the way, God must be worshipped according to truth. In John 4:24, what did our Lord tell us? God is a spirit. And they that worship Him, what? Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the way He wants and demands to be worshipped. Remember in the Old Testament, they were supposed to burn a certain incense to God, and He had given them the ingredients of that perfume. Two priests decided they'd make their own perfume and worship Him. They were not worshiping God according to truth, according to what He revealed. They thought, well, I'll worship God my own way. What did God do? He took their lives away. And God wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. By the way, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the truth incarnate. In John 14:6, Jesus saith, I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. So He's the truth personified. You want to see what living in truth looks like? Look at Jesus, amen? Look at Jesus in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is called what? The Spirit of Truth. Jesus referred to Him as that. As He was getting ready to leave, He comforted His disciples that He would send the Spirit to live inside of them. He said in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of what? Truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. What did Jesus come to do? He came to bear witness of the truth. Remember when He was before Pilate, being questioned for His very life and perhaps His deliverance? John 18:37, Pilate says, are you a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. By the way, that means, yes, I'm a king. He says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That's what He came for. to bear witness unto the truth. I'm glad I know the truth. How about you? I think of John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Why? Because he always tells the truth. But there are many mansions in our Father's house, isn't there? And he told us that. And by the way, what is he using to make us more like Jesus Christ? What is our God using? The very word of truth. God's word is truth. John 17:17, our Lord praying to the Father says, sanctify them, that's believers, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Make us more like the blessed Son through the word of God. Through the word of God. God's tower of truth. Truth revealed in the word of God. We build houses and have building projects. And it's important to have good building material if you want a sturdy building. You got to have some good lumber, all right? And if you're going to have a good sturdy building. You might have heard of lumber that's kiln dried lumber. It's more expensive than lumber that's not dried, lumber that still has all the moisture in it. Matter of fact, most lumber places where you buy lumber don't even have kiln dried lumber. It's more expensive, but the advantage of that is a lot of the moisture is taken out of it, so that later on, as it dries, there's not going to be as much bowing or twisting and things like that, and it's going to be a more sure construction. And it's going to be less likely to bow. It's going to be more sturdy. It's better for building in that sense. A lot of builders use that when it's very critical that the wall be very smooth, no waves in the wall or anything, like in a bathroom where you're putting up tile or something, a wall like that when we're building. A true foundation, when a foundation is true, it means that it's level. You're building a foundation for your house. When it's true, that means that it's level. It's a level here. It's level horizontally, and it's level vertically. True foundation. And by the way, on the corners, it's square, okay? It's not 91 degrees. It's not 89 degrees. It's 90 degrees. If you're going to have a good foundation to build upon. Otherwise, if you build upon a foundation that is not true, your materials aren't going to fit, right? Your building is going to be compromised. You want it level and true. By the way, we as Christians should be level-headed, amen. But it doesn't mean we have to be square, okay? but we should be building upon with truth. The word of God. The fear of the Lord, Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. His judgments are true and righteous. Comes to building a life that will be blessed now and in eternity. We need the tried and true word of God. And the Lord God himself, the Holy Spirit, in every area of our lives. In Psalm 119 and 160, the verse that I have up there. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Did you get that? They're true and dependable. I think about back to the wood here. Suppose I'd say,
Now this 2x4 here, which is really not a 2x, it's a 2x4 now. It was 2x4 before they planed it to take off the rough edges. Now it's about a, what is it, 1 3/4 by 1.5 or something, or 1 3/4 by 2.5 or something like that. But it needs to be what? Sturdy. Suppose I said, well, this 2x4 here, suppose I'm not sure what this is made of. Let's just say you have 2x4 made out of fur. And it can support 1,000-pound weight with certain in a certain situation. But some 2x4s can only support 100-pound weight. You just never know. It depends on which one you get. All made out of fur. Some of them can support 1,000, some 100. Could you build with them? No, you need a standard. You got to know what weight it's going to hold, or you can't even design the building. You see what I'm saying? It has to be trustworthy. It has to be something that what? That won't change, so that we can build. Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth what? Forever. And thank God for that. And I want you to know that God's word works for your life and my life, and for your children and for your grandchildren, in every area that God speaks of. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. God's promises still work for you. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, or which one's in the office. God's word still works for you. By the way, it doesn't matter whether the economy is good or the economy is bad. God's word still works for you. You can still build your life on it. By the way, it doesn't matter whether you're sick or whether you're healthy. God's word still works for you and for me, because his truth endures. It's what we build our lives upon. It's been tried. Psalm 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. It doesn't get any better. And we can build our lives upon it. You see, if the Lord tarries 100 or 200 or 300 years from now, you can still go to this book and see how to be the best husband you ought to be. You can still go to this book, see how to be the best wife you ought to be, the best brother or sister, how to conduct your work, and how to live in this world, how to relate to your neighbors. You can still go a millennium from now, if the Lord tarry, and this book would still be right. You'd still know how to be close to God, and how to have his promises answered in your life, and it'd be the same book. You wouldn't have to change it a bit. Doesn't have to adjust it, because it's the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is the blueprint for life, that for the life that we want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You got to follow that Word. And by the way, Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, what? They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What else do we see? Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. So we saw, first of all, the truth revealed. That's the Word of God. That's the blueprint. Now, whatsoever things are honest. This has to do with how we receive the truth. Honest. Being honorable. Honorable. Truth doesn't benefit us if we're not honest with ourselves. When we are confronted with the truth, then it doesn't benefit us unless we're honest with ourselves. I think about James 1:21. James says, and following, he says, he wants us to receive the engrafted word, there it is, which is able to save your souls. Don't just know the truth, receive it into your lives. He says, goes on to say, James 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He goes on in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man
beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. As some of you looked in the mirror this morning, when you got out of bed, and you saw the truth, as did I. Some of us made adjustments accordingly. I see some of you didn't. I'm just kidding. Okay? Just kidding. All right. But we see the truth there, you see, and we have to receive it. And that's what God has for us. By the way, if I see the best lumber for the building and I don't buy it, whose fault is that? It's mine. It's how we receive it. We have to receive that truth. And recognize it, that when God convicts us, we have to accept that. I think about some time ago when Absalom rebelled against David. Absalom took his army after his own father to try and kill David and his men. David told Joab and the other two generals, "Well, when you find Absalom in the battle, would you please be merciful to him?" Well, they heard that, and Joab's men heard that, and so they went to battle. Well, during the battle, Absalom was fleeing, and Absalom had long hair. Might be a good message for against long hair, but he goes under an oak tree, and his head gets caught in the oak tree. And so one of Joab's soldiers come, and he says in 2 Samuel 18 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under a thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him." And so one of Joab's soldiers says, "I saw Absalom hanged in an oath." And Joab said to that guy, he says in verse 11, "Behold, thou sawest him. Why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." And the man said unto Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son? For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai," the other two generals, saying, "Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king. And thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me." Then said Joab, "I may not tarry thus with thee." And he takes the men off and kills Absalom in the tree. But what did Joab do there?
He received the truth.
"Why didn't you kill him? I'm going to give you the reward." Yeah, and the king would have found out that I did it, and the king would have said to you, "Take him out," and you'd have killed me yourself. You know what? Joab didn't say it, but you know what he's thinking? Yeah, you're right. We can tell it because he says, "Well, I'm not going to stay here and talk to you about it. I'm just going to dismiss it." But he realized that guy was telling the truth. You see that? And we need to realize when God's telling us the truth, and receive that truth when the Spirit convicts us. What else do we see? "Whatsoever things are just." That is truth related. Truth revealed, truth received, truth related. You see, just has the idea of what we, how we relate to one another, how we treat our neighbor, how we relate to God. We take that truth and we live that out toward God and toward our neighbor. When I receive it for myself, I take that truth and I live it out. I walk with God in that.
But this is toward the neighbor. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy what? And truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of who? God and man.
You see, the Christian life is two directions, isn't it? If we're going to be square or right with God, we need to be right vertically. That's how I receive the truth myself. And we need to be right what? Horizontally. We need to be right with the people around us, our brethren, and the world. That's truth. Truth related.
Thou shalt not bear false witness what? Against thy neighbor. Apply it. I like the 3 John 1 and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children what? Walk in truth. Walk in truth. Whatsoever things are pure. This is truth revered. When you recognize these things that are true and are unchangeable, that I ought to receive for myself, that I ought to apply to all that are around me, came from God. Therefore, they're not only true and right, but they're holy. They're holy and they're pure. And it's putting the fear of God first in our lives. To fear God and to have reverence for God is to realize that God is sovereign. He controls the universe, and He's the one we must answer to. You have a job, you know where your paycheck comes from? Oh, I know where it comes from. It comes from my boss. No, it doesn't. It comes from God. The Bible says if you have any strength in you at all, that God gives you power to get wealth in me. You see, and what we need to do when we think on things that are pure, we realize that I need to put God first. It's holy to put God first. And because He is sovereign, He is in control. He's the one who oversees all that comes into your life and my life. So when it comes time to decide, should I do this? If it's against God, we ought not to do it. And we ought to do what God says. He's the one who oversees all that. When Peter and John were persecuted by the Jews and said, stop teaching in the name of Jesus. What was his answer? In Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God judge ye. What do you think? Tell me what you think. You think we ought to listen to you instead of God? You yourselves know that would be foolish. If there's a God that controls your life, then it's foolish to disobey Him, to obey a man that doesn't control your life. See, the problem is we just think it's our circumstances that control our lives when we disobey. And we forget that it's God. We forget that it's God that controls all things. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 24, we are to put on the new man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. True holiness. Holiness according to truth. See, all that's good for mankind lies within the boundaries of truth. All that lies outside the realm of truth is deceitful and harmful and not good for you and I. That's just the facts. That's the way it is. In James chapter 3 and verse 14, James writes, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Be honest with yourself. That's back in the earlier points. Receive it. If you have that kind of bitter envying, that wisdom descendeth not from above, he says. Doesn't come from God. And so purity, those things that are pure, come from God. Christians are called to holiness. Romans 8:29, speaking about our God. For whom he did foreknow, he also what? Did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When you became a Christian, you know what God had already decided about you? I am going to conform you, Christian, into the image of my Son. By the way, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. Now, you and I will be are being conformed along the way, but when we die and see God, or the rapture comes and we are called up, or come up out of the grave, depending on where we're at, then we're going to be like him. The Bible says, for we shall see him as he is. He's going to finish the job then. But guess what? He's not waiting till then to start it, folks. He is determined to make that his goal. His goal for your life and for my life is to conform us to the image of his Son. And it would behoove us to get in line with that, you know, and to begin building for that, you know, to square our lives with that, to square it up and see that we are what? On the same page as God. Is that the goal of my life? To be like Jesus Christ? Is that the goal of your life? That's where God's going. If you want to get where we're going, you got to get with God, amen? Because that's where God's going. And we want to go in that direction with him. He's not waiting on to do this later. He's working on this every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. The memory verse for today. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but what? But unto holiness. He's called us to be more like his Son. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible says about God's working in this manner to make us like his Son. He's talking about fathers there, earthly fathers, and how they chasten their children to help them learn things. And in Hebrews 12:10, he says, for they, earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his what? Holiness. Why? Because he's working to make you and I more like his Son. And he will chasten us when we disobey. Why? To make us more like his Son. That we might be partakers of his holiness. So when we sin, he chastens us. Why? So we'll not do that again. When we have the sin of omission, we leave something out, he chastens us. Why? So we'll start doing what's right. And by the way, I'm thankful he's not going to give up, folks. you can count on it. His heart and mind is set on that until the day we see his Son face to face. We're called to that holiness. A man wrote to Dear Abby. He was wanting a better relationship with his ex-wife. He said, the problem is that I'm living with her best friend. But that's not the worst of it. I'm in love with another woman. Besides your best friend. He says, I need some advice. But then he says, don't talk to me about morality or religion. I have no interest in those things. Dear Abby responded, I'm not sure how I can help you. Morality is the only thing that separates us from the animals. Perhaps you should call a veterinarian. I like that. Amen. What else do we see? Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely. This is truth relished. Truth relished. You see, when we begin walking in the truth, we begin worshiping God. Truth is revered. We have received the truth. We're relating the truth. You know what we realize? That the truth is a beautiful thing. It's a lovely thing in our lives. That it is that which is pure. That which is pure is lovely to the Holy Spirit. Is lovely in the eyes of God. 5 or 6 times the Bible says we are to worship God in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beautiful to God. It's lovely. Christ-likeness is beautiful to God. And when he sees that in your life and mine, he says that's a beautiful picture. He sees his Son working through us. It's a beautiful thing. You see this lovely as the idea of truth relished. Truth relished. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I'm not 100% sure what all that means, but I can tell you this. It's a beautiful picture they're painting there, isn't it? Can you imagine some kind of a picture made out of silver with a background and stuff, and it's got apple trees in it, and in the apples, there's a lot of silver in the picture, and then in the picture, the apples and the trees are gold. It sounds beautiful to me. Sounds like that might be a lovely picture. By the way, that's the way God's word is. When it's fitly spoken, when we yield to the designer, amen, and the painter, and his work, it's a beautiful thing. As it takes over our life, it's a beautiful thing. That's why Peter and the other writers encourage women to show forth that beauty that's on the inside. The world wants to look at the outside. They want to make the outside the main thing. You know, 1 Peter 3:1, likewise ye wives, says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may be won, he says, by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste, that's holy, conversation, coupled with fear, a fear of God, a reverence for God, who's adorning, what's that? Beauty. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or and the wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let the beauty be on the inside, in that which is not corruptible. Let it show forth to the outside. And even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God says, oh, that's beautiful. That's one reason why I believe that the Bible teaches women ought to dress modestly. Why? Because men have a problem with these here, right here, with these eyes. And what God is saying is, if you're looking for the right kind of man, you want to dress in a way that he will notice your inward beauty first. You don't want to be showing. By the way, if it's not for sale, don't advertise. All right. And she is to be covered and modest, but she is to let that beautiful spirit show forth. You know, the older we get, the more we appreciate the beauty of holiness. And a holy wife is a beautiful thing to the Lord and to her husband. It's a beautiful thing. And Zechariah 8:19, he says, and the end of the verse, he says, therefore love the truth and peace. Love the truth and peace. You see, whatsoever things are lovely. That's truth. That's truth relished. And then, whatsoever things are of good report. That is truth. Truth respected. Truth respected. See, because the good report is your testimony. It's what people think of you and I as we live this Christian life. By the way, it's what they think about the Christian life by looking at and considering you and I. Whatsoever things are of good report. By the way, the truth is good, isn't it? It's all those things. It's lovely. It's holy. It's right.
It's for our neighbor. It's exercise. It's all those things. It's a good thing. Do our lives reflect that the truth is a good thing? Or are we in some way giving the truth a bad name by the way that we live as believers? In 2 John 1:1-2, John says, he's addressing someone there. He says, the elder, that's himself, John the elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. I love this person in the truth. What he's saying is, he's loving them as the Bible commands them to him to love them. And he does this, why? Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. John says, the reason that I'm living according to the truth is for the truth's sake. I want to be a reflection of the truth in my life. Why? So that people don't think badly of the truth. See, many times our lives sadly may not line up with what we profess, and God wants them to. In 3 John 1:12, John's writing, and there's a man in the church named Demetrius, and he is one who is kind of wants all the glory. He's a proud man, and not Demetrius, I'm sorry, Diotrephes. Diotrephes is a proud man. He wants all the glory. He doesn't let some people come visit the church because he's jealous of their preaching and such. And so he's kind of commandeering the church with a rod of iron and such. But there's another man who's humble in the church. His name's Demetrius. He's a man living for God. And John says he's going to deal with Diotrephes when he visits. But he mentions Demetrius, 3 John 1:12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Demetrius has a good report. Look at his life, and it's a good report. By the way, what do people see when they look at our life? Do they see a good report for the truth? Or do we some or are we not so truthful ourselves? Do we lie? Are we not honest with others? Do we pay our debts? Do we do a full day's work? You know, not taking the extra 5-10 minutes at the break time? Do we do things the way the boss said to do them, since we're not the owner of the company? Do we complain about the company at the job which has been given us and those around us? Are we being a good example of that? Are we lazy? Are we quick to be angry? Do we handle our finances in a way that is a testimony to the truth? Do we eat too much? Gluttony? You don't hear much preaching on that these days, do you? Did you know that 70% of Americans are overweight? 70%. And more than half of those are obese. Grossly overweight. That's not a good testimony for the truth, is it? We're supposed to be what? Temperate in all things, the Bible says. God calls us to that. This has been has come to our hearts because we have loved ones that and people that we love, and brothers and sisters Christ that we love, that we see that they have what, medical problems. Our medical system is suffering greatly because of why? Because Americans just frankly are eating too much. Their knees are giving out. Their bodies are giving out. Our bodies weren't made to carry the weight that some people are carrying. I'm saying this because I love you. And we need to. Does our life reflect the truth?
By the way, I want to be around as long as I can for my wife. I think one of the ways I can provide for her is just to be around longer. We're wealthy because we're children of the King. We don't have a bank account that we can foresee, being independently wealthy here on this earth.
But we ought to be careful about that and about those things, about the testimony of the truth. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke, servants are at work, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine, that's his truth, be not blasphemed. Be a good worker, what? So people will speak well of the truth and not evil of the truth.
Yeah, well, those Christians,
Yeah, I got five of them. I got five in my company, and none of them work, as good as some others. Well, that ought not to be, amen. Why? Because the reputation of the truth is to be respected by those. It's just to be a good report by the world that's around us. Speaking wisely, having sound speech, Titus 2:8, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Be careful how we talk. Close with a thought just of Daniel. What a testimony he was to the truth. He was a young man taken captive from Judah when the Babylonians conquered Judah and Jerusalem. They took him captive into Babylon. And he was chosen with his friends to be a servant of the king, and he prepared him for that for years. And Daniel became a servant in the king's government, and he became a ruler because he was faithful in all that he did. Everything that he did with all of his heart. And by the way, He treated the king as if he was serving the Lord. Before they were taken into Babylon, God's command to them was, and when you go there, you be a blessing there. You work hard there. You multiply there. Because your blessing will be found in their blessing. And I'll be with you. By the way, that's just what Daniel did. And he was faithful to God. And he became the second ruler to the king in Babylon. Well, some of the other Babylonian rulers didn't like that. They were jealous of Daniel. And they said, we got to get this guy. How are we going to get him? You know what they said? One of them said, well, we're not going to find anything against him as far as how he does his work. Because he's a faithful guy. We don't know of anything that he does wrong with his work. We don't know of anything that is morally wrong in his life. The only thing that we can do is if we can get something against his God, something he does for his God, if we can somehow make that wrong, then we'll get him. You know why? Because they knew that even if the world says it's wrong and God says it's right, guess what? They're going to catch Daniel doing it. Because why? He revered truth, didn't he? He worshipped God. It's holy. And they said, no praying. For how long was it? 30 days or something? 3 weeks, something like that? And by the way, King, why don't you make this rule? We got this. We came up with this idea. We want to see who is faithful to you. We're going to have a period of time, 3 weeks, a month, whatever it was, where nobody prays. But to you, O King. King says, oh, that sounds pretty good. You know, he's kind of proud. Well, kind of proud there. So they go. They give him he seals the thing with his ring. And they go. Daniel goes home. What does he do? He prays 3 times a day, just like he would open his window and he'd look toward Jerusalem. By the way, there was no command that he had to do that. There's no command that a Hebrew had to pray 3 times a day or open the windows when they pray. Daniel had just deemed that's what God wanted him to do in his life for his own revival and for the revival of his people that were captive in Babylon. He had determined, God wants me to do this. This is a holy thing.
I'm going to pray to be to pray for the deliverance of my people one day from Babylon by doing this. Three times a day, I'll open up. And you know what? When he got threatened by the world to stop doing that, he didn't say, well, I better hang that one up. Know what he did? He says, no, this is between me and God. I'll go do this. And he did it again. And they caught him. You know the rest of the story. They said, oh, this ruler you like so much, king, guess what we found him doing? Praying to his God. You know why? Because he ought to obey God rather than men. And Daniel was convinced that's what God wanted him to do. And so he would not cease to do it. You remember the rest of the story. He was thrown in that lion's den. What's the one song say? Daniel was invited to be on the menu of the Lions Club that day. But you know what? Those lions got lockjaw, didn't they? And God shut the mouth of the lions. King couldn't sleep. He jumps up in the morning first thing. Oh, Daniel, is your God that you pray so often able to save you? King told him that he was when he threw him in there, but he wasn't so sure about it. And it's not as sure as Daniel was. He's able to save you. Daniel says, he has saved me, king. What does the king do? He grabs the guys that had the conspired against him, throws them in and their children, and they're eaten up before they even get to the bottom of the den. And you know why? Because Daniel says, my God's first. And God took care of that. Truth is the foundation. And may we yield to the truth of the Word of God. And by the way, we'll never regret it. We'll never regret it. It'll become all of these things in our hearts, in our lives. And we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the truth of your Word. It is powerful. It is strong. It is unchanging. We can build our lives on it. We can find all the strength and wisdom that we need in it. It'll be good for today and yesterday and forever, Heavenly Father. Even as you're the same today, yesterday and forever. And we thank you for that. It's the truth about heaven. It's the truth about hell. It's the truth about life on this earth. It's the truth about our relationships, the things we love, the things we desire. It's the truth about what you're doing in our lives. It's the truth. God, I pray you'd help us to stand firmly upon it, to align our lives with it, that we found not to be fighting against you, but that we, like Paul, might want to run with you, might want to make your desires our desires, might long for the image of your Son to overtake our lives as you want it so to be, by your Spirit within and by yielding to the truth of your Word. And Father, we'll be the ones blessed for it, and you'll be glorified through it all. Help us, dear God, in these things, we do pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.